Welcome to Buckeyes Tomorrow Morning for Sunday, November 27th. I'm your host, Tom Orr. The game against Michigan is in 363 days. Unless they play Michigan in the playoff this year, Kevin Noone, but it seems not the most likely scenario right now. Ohio State spent a whole year talking about proving they weren't tough and proving they could, that last year was fluke, and then 45-23, Michigan wins in Ohio Stadium. First time Michigan has won in the Horseshoe since 2000. 22 years, and it wasn't a fluke, but it was just one of the most unlikely ways Michigan could have won this game is how they won it.
If you would have told us at the start of the season that Blake Corum would have a Heisman caliber type of year, only to really just not play in the game. He did so little in the game, let's not even put him on the list that he played. And that J.J. McCarthy would beat Ohio State with his arm, I would have probably said that you were crazy. And I wouldn't have accepted any of that. But here we are. credit to Michigan. They won the game. Ohio State just didn't have answers in the second half, and once again, it was a second-half collapse for Ohio State against Michigan, as we've seen now in this two-game losing streak. And you have to wonder, and it's just us, you know, speculating at this point, what if Ohio State would have turned some of those empty drives or some of those threes into sevens? Does Michigan have to kind of change some of the things it does? Is Michigan not as carefree with some of the play calls that it makes? We'll never know. We'll never know at this point. All we know now is 363 days or a miracle before these two teams play again.
Yeah, this was shocking in not that Michigan won. I think we thought Michigan could win. We talked about that being like a 40% chance they could win. But if they won, I think we were expecting 27-23. And, you know, certainly it was going to just have to be a grind it out, and maybe you capitalize a couple of Ohio State turnovers. Michigan touchdowns. 69 yards through the air, 75 yards through the air, 45 yards through the air, 75 yards on the ground, 85 yards on the ground. It was, they put up just about two-thirds of their total offense for the day on those five plays, and those were the touchdowns. This is the second year in a row that Ohio State has gotten absolutely gashed with big plays against Michigan. And no, I think this is, people are going to turn this into a referendum on Jim Knowles, and I don't know quite how to square this, where Ohio State has looked very good on defense all year, and yeah, I think you're having some conversations about competition they faced and all that at this point, but they did essentially what they had done all year, which was pretty much lock teams down, and then you have a couple 50-50 balls down the field, or you have a crazy bust, and okay, you have one of those here, one of those there. And then, you know, the two plays, they held Michigan to like 3 yards per carry for the entire game until the two plays right at the end that were, you know, the long touchdowns once they were already down. They were down 31-23. And, you know, at that point, Michigan, you know, they kick a field goal to cut it to 8. And then Michigan, Donovan Edwards has two long runs at the end. I don't know how to square what we've seen from Jim Knowles all season, where this looked like a much more competent defense this season than it did last year. And then, you know, this is the game where this all matters. This is the game where this whole conversation for the season starts. You know, the goals were beat Michigan, win the Big Ten, win the national championship. Well, now your first two are gone. So, how big of a concern is this with Jim Knowles that this has all just been a mirage this year?
Well, I think the first thing you have to say is, was Jim Knowles brought in to fix the defense or beat Michigan? I mean, I'm sure both of them are kind of on the offer sheet. You know, we need you to fix the defense, beat Michigan, win the Big Ten, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're the head coach of the defense. I think that based on where Ohio State's defense was last year in terms of being a little bit of a rudderless ship, that he did a lot of good work with the defense. I think that everything kind of got exposed at the worst possible time. I certainly think that we have a chance to watch the game, delete the game, try to forget the game, but have to go back. We have to write about it, so go back and watch the game. We'll find a lot of things that we didn't like with the defense. There were free runners a lot when it comes to those passing touchdowns. What happened there? Was that, you know, was there a schematic thing? I mean, generally it's like, well, somebody wasn't where they needed to be. Why was that? You have to diagnose why that happened. I'm really looking forward to seeing Ross Fulton's, Michael Pettit's. I want to see their analysis next week, exclusively on BuckeyeHuddle.com, of, you know, to be able to see kind of what they see there, have an opportunity to maybe see some All-22 film. But, you know, I think that anybody that's calling for Jim Knowles' head right now, I think that is, I think they're lost in the moment. You're lost in the moment. This was a terrible game, but there were a lot of issues there. There were a lot of issues, and I think a lot of them are going to rest on the guy who has the biggest paycheck. Jim Knowles makes $1.9 million. Ryan Day makes $9.5 million. And, it, I mean, the culpability is we know where it is right now, because the offense could have done a lot of things to take the pressure off the defense.
Well, and this, you know, we talked on the Buckeye Weekly Instant Reaction Show about the fact that this was like this kind of combination of a bunch of nightmarish Ohio State losses of the past, where you had the long plays at the end, which turned a close game to a not close game, very reminiscent of the 2018 Purdue game. You had the Michigan running back running all over Ohio State. The score was literally 31-23 at one point, like the 1995 Ohio State-Michigan game. You had the tight end with a crucial drop in the end zone, like the 2005 Texas game. You also, on the other side of the ball, you have Ryan Day's offense looking just like Ryan Day's offense looks against Oregon, against Clemson, against Michigan last year, where it's 64 points and happy fun time explosion when you're playing Rutgers and when you're playing Maryland. And then it bogs down in exactly the same way against all of the good opponents. So, you know, when they lose to Clemson, it's because they dominate the first half, they're marching up and down the field, and they kick three field goals, and it's only 16-14 at halftime. Because when you're kicking field goals, then your margin for error is smaller, and you have the targeting call against Sean Wade. You have the, you know, you give up the one play, and all of a sudden, you know, hey, it's a two-point game, even though you've dominated the first half. This was a little 1996 Ohio State-Michigan, where Ohio State was close. You know, Ohio State was controlling things in the first half, and they're kicking field goals, and they're punting on, you know, at midfield, and not taking advantage of the fact that they had Michigan on the ropes. And you have seen the offense bog down in exactly the same way over and over again in this type of game. You know, is that a Ryan Day issue? Is that a natural byproduct of you're playing a better defense and everyone's offense will bog down, but somehow other teams are miraculously able to get out of the 20s, and Ryan Day keeps having these games where it's like 64 points against everyone and then 27 points, 23 points, whatever, in these games, and then they lose.
Well, I think teams have kind of, like, opposing DCs have kind of figured some things out about Ryan Day's offense. The problem is, for a lot of these DCs, they don't have the talent to be able to shut Ohio State down. And now we've seen, you know, it's not like everybody runs the same attack on Ohio State in terms of what they do defensively. But I think that there certainly were some points under Urban Meyer where I think that his offense got to be a little predictable. And we're kind of seeing it again here. And some of it just goes to, you know, you get into a bad situation, you get into deep water, and you just go to what you know, and that's the throw. And certain, you know, oh, we're going to go and hit the wide receiver screen, throw out in the flat, things like that. So you go there with what your calls are, but you also end up recruiting to that because, well, I need guys that can execute wide receiver screens and throwing to the flat. And so it kind of almost becomes like this self-fulfilling prophecy of where you have guys who should be really good at running this offense that puts up just historic numbers against 90% of the teams out there, 92% of the teams out there. But then when you get yourself into a real fight, I mean, sure, there are going to be times where Ohio State has gone in and just, you know, blasted a team that has a small number next to their name. But we're talking about the game here. We're talking about Michigan. We're talking about the one that everybody remembers. People are not going to walk around and talk about, you remember the Penn State game in 2022? People aren't, no. No, they won, right? Well, yeah, they're going to remember this game. So, dare I say it, I think that there has to be a real conversation about maybe having another set of eyes in terms of calling the plays.
Yeah, I think that's not unrealistic to say that, you know, head coach Ryan Day needs to sit play caller Ryan Day down and say, listen, we appreciate your contributions. Why don't you just focus on the game management stuff and we'll let someone else. It just, you look back at teams that have struggled in the past, and bringing in another guy does not always fix it. You have seen people, you know, bringing in a different play caller does not always magically fix it. Not everyone is Joe Brady walking into LSU and having Joe Burrow sitting there waiting for him. But you also have seen that work. And it would be interesting to see, is Ryan Day willing to turn over control? Because, you know, part of that may hinge on how concerned is Ryan Day about where his program is right now and how fixable his program is. And does he think he can fix it, or does he think he needs to bring someone else from the outside? That is all a very, very interesting question. And Kevin, I suspect one we will probably be talking about for the next 363 days, because just like this year, boy, next year feels like there's going to be 11 games of preseason and then the one game that matters, and we'll see how it goes for Ohio State. Before that, though, the question is, we normally start the show with here's the next game and then here's how many days till the Michigan game. Well, we don't know what the next game is. We know it's not going to be next weekend in Indianapolis. Purdue and Michigan are going to be playing in the Big Ten championship game. Ohio State misses that for the second year in a row. So the college football playoff, and, you know, please don't roll your eyes. We're going to have to talk about this because someone has to make the college football playoff. Here's how the college football playoff works. They need four teams. And Georgia can be one, and Michigan can be two.
And then what?
TCU handled their business on Saturday night, just annihilated Iowa State. So, okay, they're three, assuming they beat
K-State,
probably either K-State or Texas next week, depending on how that K-State game goes on Saturday night. So TCU could be three. USC, as of the time we're recording this, has not played Notre Dame yet. USC looked very vulnerable against UCLA last week, very nearly lost. They should get a good test on Saturday night from Notre Dame. We'll see how that goes. Then they'll have to play some combination of Oregon and Utah and maybe Washington.
I was going to say, I think Utah's drawing dead, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's, they're going to have to play someone with a pulse next week in Las Vegas. If USC loses, or if TCU loses, you know, I know our live show after the game was filled with Ohio State fans saying, we don't even want to be in the playoffs. Like, okay, everyone's angry, and that's fine, but they have to put four teams in, and I don't think Alabama has a real compelling argument to get in ahead of Ohio State. So
two losses.
So if USC loses, and especially if they lose to a Notre Dame team that Ohio State has a head-to-head win over, Clemson lost on Saturday. Right. They lost to South Carolina. So now they're, you know, the ACC is probably dead for the college football playoff. So, you know, if Ohio State makes it into the college football playoff, it's kind of an intriguing team because you just saw them get thumped, but you're potentially getting a healthy Mayan Williams back, you're potentially getting a healthy Trey Van Henderson back, you're potentially getting a healthy Jackson Smith and Jigba back, healthy Matt Jones. I mean, you're Cam Brown potentially being back and being able to play the full game after he got hurt on Saturday against Michigan. It's at least, you know, this is an Ohio State team that we have talked about being, you know, Michigan is built to beat Ohio State and win the Big Ten. Ohio State is built, and we'll see, we'll find out, we may get a chance to find out exactly how well built, but the idea was it's structured to win college football playoff games. And you know, I know everyone is very upset, but is, you know, Ohio State and Michigan playing again, that's not out of the realm of possibility. And if they do, you know, I think Ryan Day would love another shot at Michigan and not have to wait another 363 days. Because if you lose again, you lose again. But if you win, you know, hey, that's not so bad.
Right. Well, it's a split. And you're not going to play them in the semifinals. You'll be playing them for a big leg trophy. So, you know, that's always a good thing. But, Yeah, it's, you know, a lot to think about there, and people are going to be like, well, they would need so many steps to happen. No, you would need one. I mean, two would really, I mean, what if TCU and USC both lose? Then at that point, you know, what happens with what you got there? And then if you have both of those losses happen, you just can't have LSU go out and beat Georgia, and then you get LSU and Georgia in there. So there are a lot of tumblers that can happen in this combination, but it's not completely out of the realm of possibility that Ohio State can backdoor its way into a playoff, and it's not completely unheard of for a team to backdoor its way into a championship game or into a playoff. It happens. So the hurt is real. The anger is real as Ohio State licks its wounds and tries to figure out what went wrong once again against the hated rival. But all is not lost in terms of what the postseason could look like. And honestly, if Ohio State doesn't get in there, it's going to be the Rose Bowl against Oregon or something like that, potentially. And I can already see the comments populating. Oregon, Bo Nix would tear these guys apart or whatever.
Is Bo Nix playing?
Is Bo Nix playing? Is CJ Stroud playing? I mean, a lot of stuff can happen at that point. But, you know, it'll be a fun ride, so be sure to stick with us.
Well, and I will give you the same speech that I give every year when we have the Rose Bowl conversation, which is you should go to the Rose Bowl because it's an awesome place to go see a game.
The Rose Bowl is awesome as we wind.
Yeah, so yeah, we're going to wrap it up here, but did want to give the Rose Bowl a little plug, and you know, we'll see. Right now, Oregon State has beaten Oregon, so this is another team that is at least theoretically somewhere in the college football playoff adjacent area. They're out. Gone. Clemson's out. Yeah,
a lot of chairs have disappeared.
So we are going to we're going to wrap it up here, but we should have plenty more to talk about as we wrap things up. We sort of look ahead, I guess, to what should be a very interesting couple weeks of Ohio State football. Ohio State has obviously had a lot of recruits on campus. We're going to have a lot of that stuff to talk about. We're going to have a lot to talk about as we get into the Big Ten championship game, as what happens there, what happens in the other conference championship games, what happens to the college football playoff rankings. There's going to be a lot to talk about the next few weeks, and a great place to do it will be at BuckeyeHuddle.com. Sign up today. There is plenty to talk about. There is plenty going on heading into early signing day as well. So it should be a busy couple weeks. So make sure you join us there. And make sure you're also subscribed to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/BuckeyeHuddle. Lots of fun videos there. And basketball season getting cranked up. Ohio State had a big win over Cincinnati in Hawaii last week. So
And Texas Tech.
Yep. Big week for Ohio State basketball. So should be plenty more fun stuff to talk about there as well. So thank you guys all for joining us. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.